Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Obeying God, Bible Bits from 1 Corinthians. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23, Biblical Evangelism. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." 2/3 of the world's people have never heard the gospel in a personal way. 1/3 have not heard the name of Jesus. They have no hope apart from Him. What if they knew we have a gospel of peace, joy, and forgiveness? What if they knew we serve a God who loves the world so much He gave His only Son? What if they knew our Lord commanded us to tell everyone the good news? What if they knew He said, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments? What if they knew most preachers don't preach on missions? What if they knew most churches don't have any real concern for the lost world? What if they knew few churches have any specific program for world evangelization? What if they knew we spend more on Christmas gifts than we expend to get the gospel out? What if they knew we spend more on cookies, candy, and soda than we give to share the good news? What if they knew? Well, someday they will. Will they then declare, as it reads in Psalm 142 and verse 4, "No one cares for my soul"? May God help us to love the lost enough to share the good news. There are two kinds of Christians in the world. Both of them are found in the church. You could call them provincial Christians and cosmopolitan Christians. Provincial Christians are very narrow in their focus, restricted. They're petty, confined, and small-minded. They're always hung up in self-concerns, self-survival, self-growth, self-interest, and so on. Cosmopolitan Christians, on the other hand, are easy to identify. They tend to be standout saints, but they're really just New Testament Christians. Vance Havner said, "Christians today are so subnormal that should they become normal, everyone would think of them as abnormal." A cosmopolitan Christian is large-hearted. He's big-spirited, all-embracing, non-threatened, is tactful, sensitive, and versatile. He or she has allowed God to swell their heart as big as the world. Cosmopolitan Christians are 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22 Christians. "I have become all things to all men, that by all means, that I might by all means save some." All things, all men, all means. Those are the three alls of this verse. Let's consider them in this session. First, consider a principle to practice. I have become all things to all men. It is God's intention for every Christian practice this principle and be a cosmopolitan Christian. Our example in this is Jesus Himself. The Son of God was not a man, but He became a man that He may save some. Becoming all things is not moral or spiritual compromise. It's not a license to sin. It is involvement in the world without entanglement in the world. It is accommodation without compromise. The mission field is the world. Every person needs two conversions. First, conversion of the sinner, a conversion out of the world. Then the saint needs a second conversion, a conversion back into the world. The Christian is to walk and minister in this world without putting down roots. Second, consider a people to pursue. I have become all things to all men. This indicates which people are to be pursued. All men. Our prospect list includes all people. Every saved person this side of heaven should be concerned about every lost person this side of hell. As a Christian, I am to be passionately and actively concerned for the best person, the worst person, the first person, the last person, the least person, all lost people on earth. Christ's example, Christian compassion, the Great Commission, or whatever motive, lost people should be our lifetime project. Every lost person should get to hear the gospel. Oswald Smith said, "Should anybody on earth have the right to hear the gospel twice until every person on earth has heard it once?" What is biblical evangelism? It is the whole church bringing the gospel to the whole world to save some. Someone wrote, "To save all is impossible. To save some is imperative. To save any is expensive. To save one is eternally impressive." Real evangelism of the New Testament kind involves more people than just a pastor, more places than just a church property, more procedures than just preaching, and more power than just human performance. And then third, consider a price to be paid, that I might by all means save some. That's the New King James Version of the Bible. Other translations read, "I might at any price rescue some. I might at all costs gain some." Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The Lord requires all of his followers. He calls his servants to surrender all and seek to reach all the lost. You think about that, and you have a great day.